This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, riding solo today on this Monday. Don't worry, Adam Burke will join me on Tuesday. He was a little busy this weekend, so we'll jump in with Adam on Tuesday and then the rest of your normal schedule. So four episodes this week. This will be a very abbreviated version of the podcast, but so much unfolded this weekend. We had coach firings. We had incredible results. So we got to just throw out a little bit of a podcast here. Some look-ahead spots as well, overreaction or market correction. So a bunch to get into and a little bit of a recap. Not a full-on bitching session, because I know that's not great radio slash podcasting, but Humans, who is, I believe, America's best philosopher, has the line, there is a fine line between genius and jerk. And we will dive into the fine line of genius and jerk, because boy, did I feel like a genius until I felt like a jerk late on Saturday night. So we'll dive into that here in just a little bit. But wow. Think about where we were about 16 days ago. Penn State was down 17-3, came back, forced overtime, and took the lead in overtime. There was a fourth down for the game against Oregon in a whiteout. Ultimately, as we all know, Oregon won that game. Penn State travels out to UCLA, loses as a 24.5-point favorite. By the way, UCLA, should we write a column on whether or not Jerry Neuheisel and Tim Skipper are the greatest coaches in the history of the sport? We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Hashtag genius or jerk. But then they lose to Northwestern. And you saw some of the tweets that were out there. I believe Evan Abrams had it first. And then last night I was watching SportsCenter and they noted it was the first time a team has lost back-to-back games as a 20-point favorite since 1978. And Big Game James, 4-21 as a head coach of Penn State versus top 10 teams, is out. What a absolute shocker. When you think back to what we were talking about preseason, and now I never had any exposure to Penn State, whether it be national championship or winning the Big Ten, but a lot of people that I respect certainly did it. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say, I told you so. No, I just didn't have any bets on Penn State to win the Big Ten. I don't think I had any bets on someone to win the Big Ten. I think my only bet that I had was Washington to make it to the college football playoff. We got a big one this weekend for that ticket, as it's still alive, but, you know, that Ohio State game would have been massive for it. But there's a chance. There's a pathway there. Hashtag, there's nothing worse than hope. Another great line from Matt Humans. But boy, if you had told me that a Big Ten coach was fired on Sunday, I would have looked to Madison, Wisconsin. By the way, whew, buddy, Wisconsin. 37-0 loss. Wow. It is not going well up there in Madison. And you got to imagine the days are numbered for Luke Fickell. And now you look around at the jobs that are opening up, and we still don't have Sunbelt Billy fired yet, as they did not win or cover this weekend. So you look at all the jobs that are available right now: Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Stanford, Virginia Tech, UCLA, and then we added two more. UAB fired Trent Dilfer, and Oregon State fired Tyler Bray, and you would imagine a bunch others certainly could come open, and Penn State being the most notable and attractive of the bunch. When you think about who could be up for that job, it's not really what we do here on the betting podcast. I guess there are some far-off lands that will probably have numbers. Matt Rhule makes some sense, right? With his ties to that area, his relationship with the athletic director. I believe Bruce Feldman wrote about that in The Athletic. I think Clark Lee, it would be ironic if Penn State poached another Vanderbilt coach to be their head coach. But if you're Clark Lee, I know Vanderbilt's your alma mater, but do you think about leaving Vanderbilt for a job like Penn State? I think if it comes calling, you can't turn it down, in my opinion. And then the name that's going to be floated out there a lot, and it's going to piss off Indiana fans, Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti is going to be a guy that a lot of people are going to talk about. Bruce Feldman mentioned him in his column. But we don't really do that all that much here on the podcast because we're a betting podcast. I will say this. I saw, I can't remember which Pacific Northwest-based reporter who threw this out there. Maybe John Wilner. Oregon State should hire Nick Rolovich. That would be a fantastic hire, as he is right now on the Cal staff. Nick Rolovich, while he might be a little bit kooky, great success at Hawaii, success at Washington State, everything that unfolded during COVID, whatnot. But Oregon State heading into the Pac-12 or the revitalized Pac-12, I think Nick Rolovich would be a really, really fascinating hire there. But man, what a massive, massive move by Penn State. Think about where they were just a year ago. I mean, they had the ball in the fourth quarter with less than a minute to play, tied in the semifinal. They throw the interception, or Drew Aller throws the interception. Oh, by the way, Drew Aller now done for the year. And now they fired their coach in the middle of October. I mean, what a ride. And I remember doing a radio show in State College over the summer, and one of the hosts is a Penn State guy. And I came on and I basically said, if not now, when? You know, if they can't do it now with everything set up the way that they want it to be set up, when's it going to happen for James Franklin and Penn State? And lo and behold, everything hit the fan here and they fired their head coach. And that's a very attractive job. And very curious to see who they go after. I think Bill O'Brien, their former coach, might be available. Man, things are falling apart fast up there in Boston College for old Billy O'Brien. But man, what a massive move in the college football world. 4-21, as I mentioned, against top 10 teams at his time at Penn State. And also, how about this? There is one team winless against the spread this year, and that is Penn State. 0-6. Penn State, I saw this tweeted out from Ben Fox, and Sports Odds History gave it to him. Penn State started the year 8-1 to win the title. Their best odds since 2001, and they just fired their coach on October 12th. Just crazy, crazy how we've gotten there. All right, a couple other notable things. I mentioned the UCLA game. UCLA, man, this is pretty stunning. And, you know, I was going to go through some of the win totals and where we're at from all the preseason win totals, and a lot of them are in decent shape. But the one that I gave out mid-season, well, it just lost, because who the hell saw this coming? And if you did, kudos to you. Since UCLA fired Deshaun Foster, they are now 3-0 ATS, 2-1 straight up, winning as a 24.5-point underdog against Penn State. And then following that up, and they gave me the middle finger and said, yeah, here's your letdown spot. Shove it where the sun don't shine. Hashtag jerk me. laying 7.5 with a team that lost outright by 25 points. That game was not even competitive. But this turnaround for UCLA, man. I mean, is UCLA going to make a bowl game? Probably not. But how about this? They're a favorite now this weekend against Maryland, who had another just gut-wrenching loss. Big for the win total of Nebraska, that Nebraska was able to get that one. But man, Maryland, how about blowing a 20-point lead at home 2 weeks ago to Washington, and then this past week blowing another lead against Nebraska, losing 34-31. The Terps are on the cusp of getting over their win total. But man, this has been rough when you think about blowing that lead to Washington, having the lead in the final minute against Nebraska, and now have to go on the road to one of the hottest teams in college football, and now you're an underdog. You're an underdog to this UCLA team as they head out to Westwood, or not Westwood, to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. I mean, just a wild turn of events. By the way, ask your... I wouldn't say casual fan, because they probably don't know. But even your like semi-hardcore fan, who the head coach of UCLA is? And I would say like 70% of them would probably say Jerry Neuheisel. It's Tim Skipper. He's the interim head coach. But Neuheisel, the skateboarder, he's getting all the love, and rightfully so. I mean, Nico has found new life out there too. He's playing really well. UCLA right now laying 3 against Maryland for a Saturday night game out at the Rose Bowl. Just wild, the turn of events. I mean, they were looked at in Brett Ciancia's game grader as the worst Power 4 team a couple weeks ago, and now they're on the rise. 3 straight covers, 2 wins as touchdown or more underdogs, and now they're a favorite against Maryland. And I do wonder, for Maryland, you know, that spot is really tricky because you just had your guts ripped out in back-to-back games. So how do they respond to that? All right, a couple more notes here before we wrap it up, because this is just going to be a quick podcast. I always do this, and you could follow me on Twitter, at @1TimMurray. I always put up the look-ahead lines at DraftKings, and we do a segment here on the podcast, overreaction or market correction. And a couple that jumped out to me were LSU Vanderbilt, which we'll get to here in just a moment. Washington, Michigan, that game moved 4 points. Washington last week was catching 9.5. That's down to 5.5. Michigan, by the way, good call by Matt, just outclassed by USC. And then one of my first bets on Sunday, and I wish I had took the 1.5, was Duke at home against Georgia Tech. This is going to be a very fascinating game to keep an eye on, because the look-ahead number for Georgia Tech Duke was 1.5 in favor of the Rambling Wreck. It's now up to 3 at a number of shops. If you can get a 2.5 for a cheap money line, I think there's a -135 out there. It feels like this is kind of one-way traffic all the way towards the Blue Devils in this one. I really like Duke in this spot. I know we've backed Duke a couple of times here on the podcast. We were against them 2 weeks ago at Cal when they scored 38 unanswered to get the win. And then we were on them against Illinois, where they just kept turning the football over and lost that game 45-19, even though the score maybe not as indicative of how that game played out. This is a big spot here. Georgia Tech has looked vulnerable, right? But that all being said, when you think about Georgia Tech and what their coach thrives in, Brent Key, underdog is the spot that he loves, and they are now an underdog in that spot. But what about LSU and Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt, coming off a bye, they are the favorite against LSU. And think about where this game was last week. LSU, boys and girls, was laying 3.5, and now they are catching 2.5. So we've seen a flip of 6 points in this one. And I reached out to 2 of the people that I trust the most when it comes to, you know, historical point spreads. And we'll start with Evan Abrams. I tweeted Evan over at the Action Network and I said, hey, when was the last time Vanderbilt was a favorite against LSU? LSU, per Evan Abrams, has been favored over Vanderbilt in 19 straight games entering this week. The last time Vanderbilt was a favorite against LSU, 1948. Yes, 1948. We're inching up on 80 years since the last time Vanderbilt was a favorite against LSU. But how about this, as Evan gave me this a little scoop. There was a 5-game stretch in 1948 where Vanderbilt apparently was like the Alabama of the 40s. I don't know. They outscored opponents 220-7, and they beat LSU 48-7 in that game. So Vanderbilt now a favorite against LSU. I mean, think about where we've come with this Vanderbilt program. They're now a betting favorite against LSU, who's not a jabroni squad. I know Garrett Nussmeier's dealing with some injuries. And by the way, I had Ian Fitzsimmons on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show Saturday. He was doing sidelines for LSU in South Carolina, and he was talking about all of the things that LSU has been doing to just kind of try to get this oblique fully healthy. So, Yeah, that's certainly something to keep an eye on, but a big move there. Brad Powers said that his records go back to 1976. So Vanderbilt, per his records, have never been the favorite against LSU, and they've been a touchdown or more underdog in every single one of those games. So pretty wild to look at that there. So that's a big one this weekend. A lot of big games this weekend. I can't wait to break these games down. Obviously, we're going to have Wes on later this week. Wes will dive into his time up in Autzen. And now you look at Indiana and this team, man, give them all the credit in the world. I mean, this team, and Matt was on it too. Matt and Wes both took the points with Indiana. I didn't play the game. I thought Oregon would win. I'll be honest. I thought Oregon would win the football game. That was not a fluke. As if you guys watched it, that was a very impressive performance by Indiana. And Indiana now is tied with Miami for the shortest odds to make the college football playoff. It is October 13th, and Indiana is -2,000 to make the college football playoff. What Kirk Cignetti has done to this football program is honestly miracle work. Did anybody in their wildest imaginations? Look, they got a lot of shit last year for, oh, you guys don't deserve to be here. And, you know, then they, you know, get blown out by Notre Dame. I certainly took my shots at Cignetti because he talked all that smack. But I recognized him as a good coach. I knew there wouldn't be a drop-off, but I did not see this coming, man. -2,000 to make the college football playoff right now for Indiana. They and Miami have the two shortest odds at -2,000. When you look at the national championship odds, the Indiana Hoosiers have the fourth shortest odds to win the national championship. It's wild. Ohio State, Alabama, Miami, and then Indiana at 9-1. By the way, while Saturday night was not an ideal evening for me personally, and we'll get into those games here in just a moment, Missouri finding a way to cover and hold on, but Alabama to win, could not have asked for a better result for me personally, because I bet Missouri, gave it out here on the podcast, they lose by 3, but Alabama gets the win, and now Alabama, as we discussed preseason, a team that I really liked and wanted to make the playoff, and then they lose to Florida State. They're now -425 to make the playoffs. So Alabama now has the third shortest odds to make the playoffs at -425. So we'll dive into all of that, some of those things with Adam and Wes, certainly as the week goes on. Very curious about the Friday night game, LSU and Miami. Jeff Brohm, and I'm sure Matt will talk about it on Thursday's episode, but Jeff Brohm historically as a dog, you like to back him here. 2 touchdown underdogs against Miami. This thing has been kind of, as soon as it hits 14, comes back off. 14 comes back down. So that certainly will be a game that we will discuss a bit. All right, I'll wrap it up here. As Matt Humans likes to say, there's a fine line between being a genius and a jerk. And unfortunately, it felt like it was going to be one of those big weekends here on the podcast. We were 3-1. The Texas bet came home with ease. John Mateer, that's something certainly to monitor here. How much is that thumb going to affect Mateer moving forward? Because, man, he was not healthy, clearly. And Texas dominated that game as it went on. So that one was great. Temple almost won outright. Okay, Missouri found a way to win, or cover, excuse me. Michigan State, yep, that was a bad one. Put your hand up. Not a letdown spot. They got destroyed. And then the late night slate came around. And Auburn, down there on the plains, was dominating Georgia. Just absolutely dominating this game. I believe right before the half, they had outgained Georgia something like 200-20. And it felt like, all right, we're in good shape to get this cover. We'll have to battle out the late night one, but at least we're going to get out of here with a 4-2 podcast day. And then everything changed. Please let me know if you can recall a game. I'm sure there are plenty where one play changed everything. And I mean everything. Jackson Arnold trying to do the tush push from the 1 yard line. The ball gets popped out of his hands. And that fumble takes place with 1 minute and 32 seconds to go. This was a lengthy drive, a 15 play, 79 yard drive by Auburn to essentially put the nail in the coffin on the Georgia Bulldogs. Prior to this drive, this is what Georgia had done. 6 plays, 14 yards punt, 3 plays, 1 yard punt, 3 plays, 5 yards punt. They're down 10 to nothing. An 8 minute drive. Jackson Arnold, does he get in? Does he not get in? I don't know. It was called a fumble on the field. As someone who bet Auburn, I was upset about it. If you call fumble, I don't know how you can overturn it. I know there was one view where it looked like he was in and crossed the plane, but it did not, obviously get ruled that way. And I know I was trying to put out the reverse mush, but you kind of knew that play was going to bite you in the butt, didn't you? If you had Georgia, like I did. So what happens? Georgia goes down the field. They kick a field goal. It was a big hold. They didn't give up a touchdown there. That was massive. But then to start the third, you get a turnover on downs. Okay. You're feeling okay. And then Auburn, unable to turn anything on that drive into points. They get stopped on a 4th and 1. Georgia, right after that, right down the field, 5 plays, 63 yards. So this was the Georgia second half. So after the fumble, 5 plays, 17 yards, turnover on downs, 3 plays, -2 yards, punt, 3 plays, 6 yards, punt, 3 plays, 4 yards, punt, 9 plays, 25 yards, turnover on downs. That's when they were trying to get into the back door. And I don't know about you. It was late on Saturday night. If you were betting on this game or not, if you faded me, congratulations. But as Georgia is kind of suffocating Alabama and just squeezing the life out of them on that final 16 play drive that took 9 minutes, I'm doing the math in my head and I'm thinking, all right, 3rd and 3, there's less than 2 minutes to go. If they get the first, they might slide down. And that would end the game. And Gunnar Stockton turns the corner. And I'm thinking, is he going to do it? Is he going to slide down? And he just goes airborne into the corner of the end zone, Superman style. And he knew it was over. Nothing worse than hope. And man, that was, I can't recall a game flipping like that on one play. But that's what happened. The turnover at the goal line, and now it's 20-10. So that was tough. BYU and Arizona loss. I mean, you lose in overtime, it sucks. But I was thinking, because BYU, that last minute or so was really wacky. There was a fumble. It's just kicked around. If BYU falls on it, they obviously win the game. Or if Arizona falls on it, they obviously win the game. But when BYU scored with 19 seconds to go, did you guys catch this? Bear Bachmeyer put up 2 fingers. And I was elated because we took the points. So I had 2.5 in pocket. They gave out 2 on the podcast. I'm like, yes, no matter what. And then Kalani Sitake said, no, we're kicking the extra point here. I do want to ask the question, and I think Parker Fleming agreed with me, but it was, shaded by the fact that I bet Arizona. Does it make more sense that late in the game to go for 2? You saw Navy do it against Temple and it worked out and they won the game. You eliminate the wackiness of overtime and eventually you're going to have to go for 2, which they did in the second overtime. But I don't know mathematically what makes the most sense. 19 seconds to go, you're down 1, you're on the road. You essentially win the game if you get the 2-point conversion, or you could kick the extra point and go to overtime, which is what BYU did, and they won and covered, unfortunately. But should they have gone for 2 there? I don't know the answer to the question. I think mathematically, probably should have, and I would have loved them to, because then I would have won my bet. But ultimately, BYU gets the win and gets the cover, and that was the fine line of genius and jerk right there to close out the betting weekend. Shout out to Hawaii, though. We did not bet the damn game, but Timmy Chang and company, very impressive result. There were some sharp people that I knew on Utah State. That moved the number to 1.5. And the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors pick up their fifth win of the year. One win away, baby, from getting us that win total. And how about this? Since Timmy Chang became the head coach at his alma mater in 2022, this is his fourth season as the head coach of the Rainbow Warriors, Hawaii is the best cover team in the nation at home. They're 18-6-1 ATS at home. Alabama is 17-6-1 ATS at home, but they, of course, were on the road at Missouri. They're back home this weekend, so they could, in theory, tie up the Rainbow Warriors from that point spread. But shout out to the Bows as they get a big one, and now one win away from bowl eligibility. They have not been to a bowl game, I think, since 2021. So it would be big for Timmy Chang and company to get that one, and hopefully they do. And that was a fun broadcast, by the way. Late night, Kanoa Leahy, our guy, and Larry Beal, the former ESPN anchor. We played his clip, remember, on the podcast where he was giving the pronunciation of JKS, the Cal quarterback, and I owe him a lot of gratitude for it. Jaron Chiave Sangapulateli. So that was a fun broadcast to wrap up the night and a good result for the Rainbow Warriors and our win total, as now we are one win away from going over on Hawaii. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Just a reminder, we'll be back later this week. We'll have an episode Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Normal guests will join us. Looking forward to catching up with our guy, Wes Reynolds, as he recaps what I could only imagine, a unforgettable weekend. Biggest win in school history for Indiana. He was out in Autzen as Indiana gets the victory there. Man, another great weekend up ahead in college football. So looking forward to that. Adam Burke will join us with his updated power ratings and more on the aftermath of week 7 on the next podcast. But that's going to do it for this episode. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be iTunes or Spotify, or check out our YouTube page. We had another big week on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. So check that out. Hit that subscribe button. Let's keep building up those numbers. All right, quick episode today. Back again tomorrow with the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.